I'm delighted to be here, especially to see Rabbi Miller, who is Baruch Hashem on the mend after what's a most unusual story. But before I begin, I suppose you know me. I don't have to introduce myself, but I don't know you yet, at least not individually. So why don't you go around, tell me who you are, your name, what is the name? What do they say in the army?
Serial number.
Very serial number. Instead of a serial number, tell me where you're up to, how many years you're here, what you plan to do, etc.
David Lesson.
Any color of Rabbi
Yule? I don't know.
Just say I don't know, but don't.
I don't know.
Say or say yes.
Somebody wants to look into me, but I'm not thinking much. I've been here in the number of years, trust, and Mr. Champagne's going to be back next year. Third year in
Smicha. I guess another. Some of us do wish you were a foolish lama. What are you learning now? Where are you up to now?
Doing Sugis and Malachas Machshevas.
Wonderful. Let's turn to Ayin Gimel. Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Kahana, about one third of the way from the top. Omer Rav Kahana, have you learned this yet? Zomer v'tzorach li'etzim. What is a zomer? It's pruning. You prune the tree because you want to use the part that's cut off, the branches that are cut off. So you do it because you want, you're a zomer because tzorach li'etzim. Chayev shtayim. You have two chiyuvim. Achas mishum kotzev, achas mishum noteya. So you have two yisurim that you're over, kotzev and noteya. Look in Tosfos. So Taisa says, near the filler of Rabbi Yehuda, the Machayev Malacha Shein Sicha Legufa. Of course, you all know the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Malacha Shein Sicha Legufa. So Taisa says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who would be noted to be Machmir in a case of this sort, so even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'inon Tzorach Li'etzim. You have to have, so you might think that even if you're not Tzorach Li'etzim, but you're doing something, and the tzorach le'etzim makes it an enes lichel legufa, Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev. His Taisa says no. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's potter completely. Why? Because if it's not tzorach le'etzim, that's not called koser. The term is not applicable. Midi dehavia koreya amanas litvar. And similar, this is similar to koreya amanas litvar u'moichek amanas lichtayv. So what is Taisus saying here? Taisus is saying that if you have a zomer besarach li'etzim or koreya amanas litvar, then in that case, not only is it pata because it's a mekalkel, but it's a pata why? It's not a malacha. It's not a malacha at all. If it has no chalashim of malacha, then there's nothing that was done. Nothing at all. I'm choosing this theme and specifically Kardeya Amanas Litvar as a paradigm for a whole bunch of, for a number of malachas in Klal Gadol, which are really signs where the malacha itself is a kind of weak malacha. It's secondary. It's a contingent malacha, such as Soser. Soser itself is really a mekalkel type. You're destroying something. Amanas livnois, it becomes mekalke amanas lasagen, or mochek amanas lichtoiv, or any of the other examples that the Gemara really, the Mishnah quotes. There are four altogether, three, four, or five of them, depending on certain machlekes. So the question is, when you have these secondary malachas, which by themselves are weak, and depend upon the kavana you had to do with it later on to give it the strength to be called a malacha to make a chayim. This is what we're going to discuss today. So this Taisus tells us that Kadeya Amanas Litvar, where there's an Amanas Malacha, but if it's by itself, Kadeya Amanas Litvar, it is completely changed. Kadeya Amanas Litvar is not only not Chayev, but it's not a Malacha in the first place. Now let's turn to a later Gemara in Daf Kuf Hei. Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis we take the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hakareya Bachamosei, have you learned this yet? Hakareya Bachamosei Ba'amesa, someone tears Bachamosei, either in anger, in a fit of anger, he just tears a suit, a shirt, a rag, anything. The Almeso, or he tears because it's Kriya Almeis. Bechola Makalklin, and how you interpret this is a question, but let's say all other Makalklin are Peturim. The Tosfos here mentions the idea that Hakarei v'chamosei v'amesei is apparently a makalkel and it's potter. Let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'raminhu Hakarei v'chamosei v'evloi v'amesei chayiv." So the Braisa goes against the Mishnah. The Mishnah said potter, and the Braisa says chayiv. The Afa Pishim Machalas Shabbos Yotza Yedei Kriya. So even though even though you're Machalas Shabbos and you're Chayev on it, but you are Yotza Yedei Kriya. So the Gemara says Kasha. So it's obviously a steer between the Mishnah and the Beraisa. The Gemara says no, you reconcile them both. There's no Machlekes. Why? Ha b'meis the day, v'ha b'meis the alma. In one case, we're talking about meis the day. It's one of the Shiva Krovim which are Chayev to be Kareya. We are chayev kriya, and you do the kriya al meso or be'evlo, then you are chayev. Why? Why? You're doing something. You're mechuyev to do it. You're doing it. So there's not. It's not really a mekalkel. What is it? A misakin. So and that's be'evlo. The Kamasa, the Gemara says the same thing. If you look a little further down, and the Gemara starts making questions. When is it Mesli Day? When is it similar to Mesli Day? When is it similar to Mesli Alma? Back and forth, what happens if you're there, if it's an Adam Kosher, everyone's Chayev, and so on and so forth. Anyway, the principle remains that Mesli Day is Chayev, Mesli Ba'alma is Potter. The Gemara says, let's go from Evlo to Chamoso, to tear when you're angry. Is it possible to tear when you're angry? It should be a Tikkun. Is it? So what does Gemara say? A little further down. The Gemara says, if you tear it b'chamosei in anger, not only to express your own anger, which may not even exist, but also it means you're doing it in order to show whoever it is in your household who you want to improve their obedience that you're serious. You mean business. You get angry, you tear it up. Incidentally, the Rambam Hilchos Deyos speaks about kas as the Gemara says elsewhere. The kala koi is kilo over the word zara. So how can you speak about being without? How can you speak here about and Shabbos? You should be out of the question. The answer is, says the Rambam, with kas, you actually his principle remains. Kas is the same as gava. Is completely you have to go to an extreme against kas. How do you show people your displeasure if you want to educate them properly? So therefore, you can tear it, and in order to discipline whom you're talking to, they should see how angry you are and begin to mend their conduct, right? So if you tear, not because you yourself are angry, but because you want to use it as a way of teaching someone, especially at a certain level, you use it to teach, maybe at every level. I'm not sure. I mean, we were in the Rav's class, if you remember, and I think Lemerma Emisa Insha de Beise was a standard technique. You walked into the class from the minute he started to the time he left, you sat there in terror. And I, despite all that modern pedagogy tells you that that's not the way to teach, it was awesomely effective. So what do we have here? That if you're Kareya, Be'evloi or Be'chamosei, and you don't do it because of effective reasons, such as Mesli Day, one of the Shiva Krovim, or using the cast to educate Lemerma Insha Emesa Insha De Beise. In such cases, it's Potter, And in the other case where you're doing it, I'm sorry, if you're doing it because you're mechuyev to do it, chalila, if one is mechuyev to do it because of avelis, or one is trying to teach, then in such case, you're chayev. If it's not for that, it's potter. What do you see from this? What is this? Is this in any way related to the thesis we just learned? According to whom? Yeah, you're right. Without even getting into that machlokes, as soon as you say the kareya b'chamasa b'amesa v'chalam akalkam b'turin, you see why is it pata according to the Mishnah? Not because it's not a malacha. It's pata because it's a makalkel. If the p'tur is because it's a makalkel, kamashvalon, that essentially it is a malacha. What does Tosfos say? It's not a malacha. Who asks his kasha? Of Ki Vega, in several places. Back to the same question in almost everything that he writes, it's a Kavali Gakash, if you think about it. Tosfos here holds in Ayin Gimel that it's not a malacha, has no chalashem of malacha, and according to the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Hosug and Daf Kuf Hei, it turns out that there is no such thing, and it does have a shem malacha, and the Ptur is only because it's a makalkel. I'd like to offer a number of terutzim, a number of ways of looking at it, depending on time, my time and your patience. First thing is, let's talk about malachas machsheves. And malacha to be chayev, of course, is a principle that we're all aware of. It has to be a malachas machsheves, which, how would you translate that into English? And don't laugh, it's very important. You know, I remember the Rav, I once asked the Rav Zatzal, say, Rebbe, how can you tell brisket Torah if it's real or it's fake? When do you think it's real brisket Torah, and when is it just you're mouthing words? You're playing around with vocabulary, and it's not real. You know what he answered? Try it in English. If it makes sense in English, it's real. If it doesn't make sense in English, then you're playing with words. So it's go ahead. Pardon? Meditated, yes, or similar, anything similar to that. Translate the words directly. Thoughtful action, in this broader sense. Thoughtful action, a thoughtful form of labor or work. Okay, now, so in order for an act to be considered malachas machsheves, it's not only a matter of thought or meditation, but it's thought and meditation that leads to something. There has to be, you have to have a change. Malacha that you intend by means of this malacha to cause some kind of reasonable change. Now this change can come in one of two ways. What changes? If you have a malacha, what changes in the cases we're talking about in Kuf Hei? Well, one of two changes. Either an objective change or a subjective change. An objective change, now we'll go back to classical language, there's a shinu b'chefza. Something has changed in the object which you're treating. A subjective change means there's a shinui in the gavra. Now tell me, in Kriya, in this Mishnah we have in Kriya, Kareya v'chamasai, is there an objective change or is there a subjective change? Well, is there an objective change?
Yes.
How? So yes, you have a shmata and a torn shmata. It's not an objective change. It's torn one way, tear it another way. There's no objective change. There is a subjective change. What is a subjective change? That's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Yeah. So what is the change? What do you achieve by ripping this rag or this shirt? In what? In your emotions. In your emotions, subjective. In Avelis, one gives vent to his grief by tearing Kriya. And when you rip it, well, you shouldn't know of these things since you're 100 years old, 120 years old. But when you tear Kriya for a relative, you feel with the ripping, you feel that something's been ripped out of your life. And it gives you it releases emotions. If you didn't cry before, this is the time that you do it, not because you want to, but because you have to. So there's a subjective feeling. Bachamoso, obviously, is an expression of pent up anger, so, or a decision to discipline undisciplined pupils or children. So there's no objective change in this, but there is a subjective change. How about generally kadeya manas litvar? When the mission says kadeya manas litvar state firos, is that subjective or objective? Neither. I take a piece of paper and I rip it and throw it away. There's no objective change. There's no subjective change. Huh? Where? Well, I said there's no sheni b'chetza. There's no sheni b'chetza. And here, but in the general kadei amas, if there's no sheni b'chetza, and there is no sheni b'gavra. It's neither one nor the other. Therefore, it has no shem alocha altogether. But when it comes to kadei and kadei ameso, what do you have? There's no sheni b'chetza. There is a shinui in the gavra. Yes. Okay, good. That's why the mission and Gemara differ. I mean, the mission and the Baraisa differ. Because the objective change doesn't exist there. Like the beged is a torn beged. But what differs is if you are required to the tear, either because of Evelo or Chamoso, then you accomplish something that is very real. Namely, you have fulfilled a mitzvah. Mitzvah of expressing grief, mitzvah of expressing discipline. So in that case, you have a positive, a subjective change. If you have neither of them, if you're not chayes, based the alma, or you're simply tearing it up because you're angry, then you've achieved nothing. Because you're not chayes to be kadei ameis the alma. But you say that you're allowed to wear it, that's going backwards. You're taking cause and effect and changing them. Yes? Pardon?
What would be an example of a career that has...
We'll come to this. Look at this.
Actually, when you have an aspect for, why isn't that a subjective change? You have one cup of bacon, and then when you tear it, and of course, you require still to tear it, you're going to have a different kind of different level. Obviously, you have a reason to do that.
I don't know about that. But is there any change in your emotions? If you take a piece of a rag and tear it, and you're not chayav to tear it, and you're not angry, there's nothing. That's right. Yeah, but the change has to be a real change in the thing itself. It was a rag before it's a rag now. It was a shirt before it's a shirt. It's a ripped shirt, a good shirt, but it's a shirt. Whereas in the subjective element, there's a big difference because in one you've expressed a halachic, you've fulfilled a halachic requirement, or you've fulfilled an emotional requirement, which is also halachically required. So anyway, you have these two different elements. And so now there's no chiddush in the chefza. When we come to kadei ameisa v'chamasa, no chiddush in the chefza. But there is a chiddush in your consciousness, in your experience, in your expression of emotions. So now the question is, if you have an expression, if you have a change in the chefzi, you understand that there was something done, and you're chayav. But the question we have to ask ourselves in any act is, if you have a change in emotions, a subjective change, is that called a malachas marshevis or not, right? So the question now is, according to the sugya of Potter, of Hakareya Bachamase or Kalam Akalkam Baturin. So you see that it's called a Makalke, which means what? That it is called a Malechas Machsheves. However, and the action is a Maase Avera. And you should be Chayiv. Only because it's a Makalke are you a Potter. Therefore, what do you see from this? That when there is a subjective change, even when there is no change in the Chefza, that nevertheless it's called the Malechas Machsheves. It's called the Malacha. And the Ptur is only because it's a Makalkel. So when you have a subjective without an objective change, it is called a malacha, and you should be chayav, if not for the fact that it's a makalkel. That's according to the Mishnah, according to the Baraisa, where you're it's the same principle. The only reason that according to Baraisa you're chayav is because it's not a makalkel. It's a misaken. Why is it a misaken? Because you fulfill the halachic obligation for avelis, or because you fulfill the halachic obligation of chinuch, of teaching the child or disciplining the person. Therefore, you have no, the kasha is answered. The key vega said, how come according to the Tosfos of Nayin Gimel, Kadeyam Nas Litvar is not even a malacha? And here you see that it is a malacha. The answer is, Kadeyam Nas Litvar is neither subjective change nor objective change. No shini in the chesed, no shini in the gavra. But when it comes to this, you have no objective change, but you have a subjective change. And therefore you see that there's no kasha from Tosfos, because Tosfos' case, there was no shinui at all. In the Mishnah's case, in the Baraisa's case, there was a shinui, so you can't have a kasha one for the other. However, in going through the various opportunities to answer the kasha of Vekiva Ega, I try to test this against something else. There's a Gemara in Daf Memches. Memches. Ahmed Aleph or Ahmed Beis. One second. The bottom of Memches, Ahmed Aleph. There's a small piece of Gemara which generally we go over very quickly. You don't look at it because it's only two lines after all. Gemara says, Amar Avi Da Marav, the very bottom of Marav, HaPaseach Beisat Savar B'Shabbos Chayav Chatos. Okay? What is a Paseach Beis Savar? If you want to wear, don't forget, in the Gemara's days, most garments were not worn with sleeves that we have it. They were something you put over your head, and it landed on your body. I don't know what the term would be in English. A cloak of kind. So you take a piece of fiber, large enough, and you slit it in the middle, and you take it. Why do you slit it? What are you going to do with it? It's like an arba kantis. You take it and you put it over your head, and you have a garment. So here you have your peseach beisat savar. You make a quick slit in the garment, put it over your head. Yeah, so you chayev a kantis. What do you chayev, Anna? What's the chiyuv? How do you identify which malacha? If you want to know the answer, you look on Rashi, right? So try it. HaPaseach Beisat Savar Shechalok L'Chatchila Chayev Chatas V'Hashta Kamashri Le'mana. He's now making of it a usable kli. V'Chayev Mishum Makav V'Patish T'Hayna G'mar Malacha. So Rashi says that the Malacha that you chayev in Beisat Savar is what? Is Makav V'Patish. Mikom Mashmalan, that what? That you're not chai b'shem kadeya. So Rashi clearly says, I mean, by implication is clear, that Rashi holds that Paseach Beisat Savar b'Shabbos is not chayev for kadeya. Okay, now analyze that. What happens in Beisat Savar? What happens in Beisat Savar? So if according to how would Tosfos take this Gemara of Paseach Beis Savar, probably the same way he did in Kaveh Amaras Litvar. And how would continue? How does it compare to Kaveh Amaras Litvar? If you go to the Sheet of Tosfos, you'd say in one case it's not a malacha, and the other case is not a malacha. That's why Rashi says that Yechayev Mishum Makav B'Patish, Yechayev because of Kareya. However, what do you call this? Are you no? Is it no malacha at all, or is it just potter? You have two ways of looking at it, right? Either you can say it's not chayev because of Kareya, because there's no shei malacha, or it's not chayev in Kareya because it's a Makalkel. Is it? Yeah, I'm just asking. Okay. So what do you find is that this HaPaseach Beis Savar B'Shabbos is the mirror image of what? The exact opposite of Kodei Amanas Litvar. Because why? Because here, in the Pesach Pesach, I'm sorry, it's the exact opposite of Kodei Abachamoso. Because if you're Kodei Abachamoso, you have no objective change, but you have a subjective change, right? A change in the Gavra. And Pesach Saba, what happens? You have an objective change. You took a simple piece of fiber and you made of it a cloak. It's a tremendous change. Is there any subjective change? No, unless you have a fetish about cloaks. There's no subjective change. It's just you don't have a special simcha because you put on a beged. It's just a normal thing that you do. So therefore, you have an objective change, but no subjective change. And what's the halacha? Is it called kadeya? According to Rashi and the Meiri and some other, and most other Rishonim, but not all. No, it's not yachai because of kadeya. So what do you see? What do you see from this? That which is more significant than halacha now? The subjective or the objective change? The subjective change. Because the objective change, it's not even called a malacha. When it comes to the subjective change, that's what really makes it a shinui. It's a real shinui. So surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, the subjective change is more significant than the objective, because subjective change makes it a what? It's the key word for us. A malech smachshavis. It's a thoughtful change. Something in which you've invested an emotion. And therefore it becomes very real, and therefore it says we can understand the Mishnah. Okay, so at any rate, Rukei Vegas Kasha seems to be answered according to this analysis of the nature of the shinui that is caused in Korea Amaras Litvar, which answer is there's no shinui at all. And Korea Bachamosai of the Mishnah in Baraisa and Kufhei, where there is a shinui not in the Chefza but in the Gavra, and then Beis HaTzava, where there's a shinui in the Chefza but not in the Gavra. You know, all cases covered.
Is there a mitzvah to make this
Beis HaTzava? What's a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah of you wearing a sport shirt instead of a white shirt? No. Although in some places you'd be condemned as not being a Ben Torah because you're not wearing a white shirt.
But still it is a subjective change.
Why
is it not a I'm not sure why it is a subjective change here, because you made the split, but it's not a subjective change when you're
Al Meso. No, is not a subjective change. It's only an objective change. That's what I'm saying. You have no special joy when you do that. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Oh, let me change.
Perhaps we can't compare this case on Memphis to the case of Korea and Athletfor at all, because Korea and Athletfor requires the second half of Tefillah. If you do Kriya without Tefillah, so it's completely...
But wait, the Korea Amas Litvar requires what?
Needs to be a Korea Amas Litvar. That's something which... It's a tear in order that you be able to sew it up and use the garment more functionally.
Well, Korea Amas Litvar Yachaya. I'm talking about Korea Shalom Amas Litvar. Maybe I just skipped the word in Torah. And Korea Amas Litvar is one of the Lama Tesla Lofas.
Right.
And the question as Tosis says, what happens if you do it not Amas, not Zalma Litvar Yachayasin? If you're doing Kareya Shaloh Amanas Litvar, so you have similar an act of Kriya, right? That act of Kriya, which is not Amanas Litvar, is neither objective nor subjective in the change, nothing. That's why places can say calmly and correctly that is no shame alocha involved, right? But when it comes to the others, you are either an objective or a subjective change. What I'm trying to show is that the objective change does not affect the basic halacha, but subjective change has definitely an object, a change. It's more significant. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's Rashi's reason. It's a reason of the Meiri and some others. We'll see later on that Rambam disagrees. Well. Yeah. It says Chayav Chatas. Chayav Chatas. Fine, okay. I know, but okay, that's a diak that Rashi would support. And I'm saying later on we'll see that the Rambam does not support it. We'll come to that later. Okay, is there possible to get some water? If anyone that's just you don't mind, please. We go to the next one. rightly comes in. Really, the expression "mekalkel amanas l'sakein," which goes through all the discussions of mekalkel and meleches machsheves, requires some clarification. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yadalad. Okay. I'm delaying it until you came back. Thank you very much. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yadalad, says, Ashoche b'shabbos yom kippur, af api shem eschaya b'nafshoi, shitosa ikshera. Listen carefully. If someone shechts on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, even though it's Chayiv Misa, why is it Chayiv Misa? You're learning Shabbos, you're learning Kol Godel. Why is it Chayiv Misa if you shecht? Because you don't belong to the Shechtim Union. No, what's the issue of Shechita b'Shabbos? What's the Av Malacha? What? Yeah, it's one of the Malachas. Where? Huh? Okay. In Klal Gadol. Anyway, Ashrech Lepi Shabbos in Yom Kippur, even though you're Chayev, Mechayev B'Nafsho, Shechitosa Kshera. This is a surprise halacha. The Shechita, the animal is kosher. So the Gemara says, you're talking about a Yisrael Mumar. And Tosfos asks, how can you say Shechitosa Kshera? But he was a mummer. What is he a mummer to do? Why is he a mummer? Where do you see his act of being a mummer? He's mechal Shabbos because he's shechting. And mummer lechal Shabbos says, what's the halacha? Mummer for Shabbos is a chalatara kula. The same as he desires everything at all if you desire that. So therefore, how can you say that mummer, that this fellow was shechet for Shabbos Yom Kippur shchitasai kshera? You should say Shchidasei Psula because he is a mumma sheshachas is possible. So Tosfos answers why? Because when does he become a mumma? After the Gemar Shchita, but before the Gemar Shchita he hadn't become a mumma yet, and therefore he is pata. Therefore the Shchidasei Kshera rather. Therefore his Shchidasei Kshera. Of course, when he started he was not a mumma. Later on, he became a mummer. When mummer, you can say shchitas psula, but when he starts, it's shchitas kshera. Now, that's the Tosfos. Bear it in mind. So the Ran asked the kasha on Tosfos. Tosfos said that he doesn't become a mummer until when? Till after shchita. So what is the Ran asked a very logical question. The process of shchita is what? You take the knife and you start slitting the simonim. Until you come to the end, until you have a Rav Simonim. Okay? At what point are you over the Issa of Shechet B'Shabbos? At what point do you do a malacha? The very beginning. As soon as you begin to shech, the blood comes out. If it's not because of Shechet, it's because of Tzoveya and the Tilas L'Shomim and Shabbos. But at that point that you have the mixa, what he called the mixas kama, the first bit, that comes out, Shchitasei is psu. You become a mumas. How can you say Shchitasei ksheira according to Tosfos? And he answers because in that mixas kama, that you shechta behema, that mixas kama you are what? A makalkel. You're not a mesakin because when are you a mesakin? When you have Rav Simonim. But at the mixas kama when you first start, at that point you have done nothing. So what are you? You are a mekalkel. And therefore you're not chayev. That's the Ran's answer on his own kasha. How can you say he's a mumma? Tosfos answers and he says no, that in the mixas kama you already are a mekalkel. One second. Now the Achronim asks on this Ran. So the Ran says you're mekalkel on the mixas kama. At that point, you're a makalka. So what do they say? The Achrayim has a kasha, but how can you call them a makalkel? Why not? What is it? So makalkel? I'm not a sakin. Where does this misakin come? A moment or two later, when he finishes the shchita. So how can you say it's a makalkel? It really is not destructive, it's constructive. Because in the beginning it looks like a mekalkel, but he does it because he's in the middle of a process which will eventuate in a tikkun. So it should be a mekalkel menas l'sakei. So that's a kasha they ask on the Ran. I happen to notice in the Sefer by the Mecha Te'ilui. I don't know if you ever heard of the Mecha Te'ilui. Have you heard of him? Mecha Te'ilui is one of the greatest Talmidim of Chaim Briska. He was a Goyen Olam. He came to America. He was one of the first at Amim Yeshiva University. He was in the early days of Yeshiva. He came to America. He was I think your father's days, he must have been here already. Yeah. He was a highly, very highly regarded. Others said he was the greatest. Well, of course, and all the Talmidim Rav Chaim, each one has his partisans, who was the greatest one. But clearly, the Mecha Te'ili, what is an Ili? How do you translate Ili into English? Genius. He's genius. He was the Mecha Te'ili genius. Incidentally, his grandson was a Talmud of ours, I think recently. I don't know if he had a smicha already or not, I'm not sure. But his grandson came back to Yeshiva, and it was really a remarkable picking up of a great experience. So the Mechata makes this, gives us their hair, this chiddush. He says that Shatan Lenan is not that it's a Makalke al Manas L'Sakin. When we speak about Kalke al Manas L'Sakin, it's not because you're Makalke now, because later there's going to be a tikkun. No, that's not Makalke al Manas L'Sakin, which makes the Kilkel a tikkun. It's rather, it has to be with the mekalkel, the kilkul itself is in the process, is where it's indispensable for the tikkun. At the same moment that you mekalkel, you're mesaken. And with the tikkun, you cannot achieve the tikkun without the mekalkel. Right? You cannot achieve the tikkun without the mekalkel. So here, when it comes to the sugi of Shechet B'Shabbos, is this a mekalkel or a mesaken on the first act? On the act, mixas kama. Is it a makalka manas l'saken or not? What's that? Why not? To explain. Because the makalka, you're on the right track, because the makalka comes first, and when he finishes the shechita, the tikkun occurs. That's not good enough. It has to be that the kilkul itself should be part of the tikkun. Of the immediate tikkun, it has to happen simultaneously. On this yesod,
has it worked in terms of sosra manaslimus?
I'm sorry.
Has it worked in terms of sosra manaslimus? When you're breaking down, that's really tikkun that happened at the same time.
Yeah.
When you're sosra manaslimus,
yeah.
So your sosra is a kilkul, right? So you're high because the kilkul is a tikkun that's happening with the kilkul at the same time.
That's a good question. He says that the kalkal manas l'sakein is only where the kilkul is necessary for the tikkun, and where it has to be not that comes later on, but as part of. Unless you say the kilkul that sosa manas livnois is not when you're sosa now because you want to be bona later on, and it's only when you're building. In order to build a house, you have to tear down the previous one. So that tearing down, it should be, if it's done immediately, it can be considered as part of one act. No? All right, good question.
I thought that you would answer the discussion by saying whether the tikkun of the kilkul is inevitable or not. In the case of sosa manaslimus, by destroying it's inevitable, you're creating laying ground for the tikkun. In shita, if your shita turns out to be trefa, then actually your kilkul was a kilkul. Your kilkul is not a tikkun inevitable.
Yeah, what happens if you sosa manaslimus? Gemara talks about sosa manaslimus, and there's more. Remember, I don't know if you learned that piece of Gemara here. When the Tosfos talks about a Seisa Amas Livnos, what happens? Does it have to be the Binyan, the ultimate Binyan has to be superior to what you destroyed or not? So that really is a similar application of the whole principle. But you would say that in Shechita, if you stop shechting in the middle, so therefore it's a complete Mekalkel. Whereas in Sose, if you stop in the middle, it's also a complete Mekalkel. It's only when you continue it and finish with the binyan that the kilkul becomes part of the tikkun. See?
Is that true? When you can say, there's a building that's standing there, and I want to add a clear path to the building. Can't I say that I've done part of the tikkun?
No.
The tikkun.
But if you stopped at that point, you were a mekalkel. You took a house that is worth only $100,000 and you made it worth only $70,000. Yeah, that's a mekalkel. But if you continue the process until you build it up, you've taken a house that was worth $100,000 and made it $200,000.
Right. Granted, you have to finish the tikkun process in order to create the tikkun process. But I think the difference between shkita and sosa and maslitos is that if you complete the steer process completely, not to say.
Okay. Saved by the bell. Next.
Just to continue, but in the same thought, if you stop shkita in the middle, then there's nothing you can do, and it is kilkul, and you can never complete the action. Even if you start an action of kilkul and you of sozer on the mount with no, and you start breaking down this house, even if you stop in the middle, that can be considered an act of sozer on the mount with no. You can always complete the action later, and you did a significant part of the law now on Shabbos. You can always complete.
Melech Machshavas requires you to know what you're doing. So if you know what you're doing, you think you're going to be sosam and as livnos, and then you never get to the binyan, your machshava never was realized. In other words, you can't say that if you take comparison sosam and as livnos, not only when you're building a house, it's when you're building a kli, let's say, and you don't finish the amnas livnos, you've got nothing but a destroyed kli. But you can say that taking a house and it was an eyesore in the neighborhood, and therefore you're breaking it down. It still remains a soser because you haven't performed the malacha in a positive way. Mekalkel, in other words, sometimes you have to be a mekalkel. You know, you want it, but it's not simple. That's called a tikkun, unless it's a thing that carries out the machshava in a way that objectively is called a tikkun. Well, that's what the matrix has said, that it's not so. That the only time that Makalkal and Nasusakain is chayev is that the kilkul is part of the process and not by the things that are going to happen later on, but it's part of the process. In other words, when you will throw down a house in order to build another one, an ordinary item, what you're doing is you're beginning a malocha, you're beginning an act, which is going to eventuate in a tikkun, and I'm starting it right now. So by starting it right now, the makalkel part becomes part of the tikkun. But if I just stop at that point, and next week I'm going to come back to it, taking it by itself is a kilkul. And that's what he says. The principle is that anything that is delayed, where you can make a delay, a shuhut, between the makalkel and the mesakin is not called makalkel manas lesakin. It's simply a makalkel. Okay, let's go to the next item. So now, according to the Mishnah, akareya al meso b'chamosre, what is the halacha? That he is potter because of mekalkel, right? And the Braisa said he's chayiv. Why? Because you're mekayim a mitzvah, you follow the halacha on avelis and achamosre. So the parish is, when you kareya stam, without any chiyuv to do anything in avelis or ema or achamosre, then the tikkun is not necessary for the kilkul. Therefore, he's potter because it's mekalkel. That's what the Mishnah says in Daf Kufay. Right? But what happens when you're kadeya because the halacha requires you to be kadeya? It's be day, and kadeya, and same thing with bechamasei because which the Torah requires you to do. At that point, the tikkun cannot be achieved without the kilkul. One cannot tear kriya al meso without being a mekalkel, right? So if he has mesli day and he tears the garment, you can't do it. You can't have kriya without kriya. I mean, it reduces that to an absurdity. You can't have kriya without kriya. Therefore, that kriya, that mekalkel, becomes a tikkun because in itself it is an act of tikkun. But if it's not Amazli day, it's Amazli Alma, or Kareba Kamasi Stam, then it's a Makalkel that has no relation to the Tikkun that comes, that might come. There's no Tikkun involved at all. Okay.
So therefore, according to this, we have three different madrigas, right? A kareya shelo amanas litfer and stam. A stam is what? Is then, as Tosa says, it's not a malacha at all. There's no shame malacha on it. And what happens reverse? If your kareya, because the tikkun is a great tikkun and it comes about as a result of the kikul, then in that case, obviously a chayev. Then there's a middle case too, which we have here, what we said in the Mishnah in Kufay. The middle case is when there is a tikkun kol shehu, but not a complete tikkun. That means it's meis de alma or bachamasa de alma. In that case, you don't have a real tikkun. You don't have a real tikkun, and therefore you can't say he's chayev, but you, enough of a tikkun to say that it's a mekalkel. Okay, and therefore we can answer the kasha of Rabbi Akiva with this chiddush of the mechita. Let's go to one more teres I'm going to offer about this on this kasha, and that is that there's a difference between two terms, which I prefer to call a koreya amanas, a koreya shelo amanas litvar, which is a term we've been using all along, and a koreya amanas shelo litvar. What's the difference? Koreya shelo amanas litvar means the act was done without any thought. You just ripped something, right? You're in a state of neutral, passive. Koreya amanas shelo litvar means you koreya on condition that you're not going to sew it up again. You're tearing it up on condition that you're not going to sew it up again. So, therefore, when a man does a weak malacha, such as kareya or soser or mochek or any of them, without any thought at all of the reason for the act, there's no almanas involved, then the malacha is the soser or the mochek or the kareya stands in splendid isolation from anything else. It's an act by itself, nothing to redeem it as a malacha, and therefore it's pata, because it's not even the malacha according to Taisus. If it's a kadeya shalo amanas litvar, it's not a malacha because there's nothing that was done. It went through this already, and that's understood. Therefore, it's a malacha which stand, a secondary malacha standing by itself, doesn't have a tikkun that follows to make it a malacha. Then it says by itself, and it's not chayev at all. And then, according to Rashi, he isn't chayev. You're not chayev on it, but there is a ma'aseh aveira, and it's called a malacha. That's the malachus of Rashi and Tosfos. It's called a malacha. Why you pater? You pater because of makalkel. So according to Tosfos, there's no ma'aseh aveira, and there's no chalashem of malacha in a case of this sort. But when the kavana was not one of indifference, in other words, kareya shelo amanas litvar, when it's simply indifferent, but when it is consciously amanas shelo litvar, you do not want, you clearly don't want to have any tefira afterwards, any tikkun afterwards, then what happens, paradoxically? No? Guess at it? Here's your situation. You have a malacha, you have an act, when it's done in order to sew it up, then it's chayev. That's the Mishnah. When it's kareya shelo amanas litvar, is done without a kavana to do anything, is nothing. When you have an act, you do it specifically in order not, and that the act should remain as it is, not according to be to correct it. You might think that it certainly is not good. On the contrary, then that primary secondary act or the weak act, which is weak all along, that becomes a positive act. Because in itself, you invested with a chashivas. I'm koreya, al-nasha loaded for it means, I want this act to be. That's my maleches machsheves. Maleches machsheves is not that I want to make something good of this later on by al-nasha litvar, and if there is no al-nasha, nothing. But koreya shalo al-nasha litvar means, I take the original malacha, which ordinarily would be dismissed as an ordinary mekalkel, and I say, no, it's not a mekalkel. This is my positive act. I want to be moche because I want to get nothing there at all. I want to be soser because, yeah, you can come back to your original case. You want to be a soser in order to make the place free of any an odd-looking house. But in those cases where it's almanas shelo, then the act itself becomes a positive act. And there, one, it's not an act of indifference, but it's an act of conscious rejection of the tefillah. There, you have it as it's a malachas machsheves, and you have to treat it not as a mekalkel. Let me just continue just for a minute, okay? Now, when you kareya shano amnas litfer, then what do you have? According to Tosis, there's no shem alocha, and there's no maaser aver. According to the Mishnah and the Beraisa and the Afkuthei, you're talking about a person who, what is he there? What happens at Evelei Vachamosei if he's chayiv? If he's not chayiv, and if he's chayiv. So when you have it, if you're miskaven to tear, and you want it to remain that way, do you have a case of that sort in the Mishnah? In the Beraisa? Sure. What is it? Kareya, come on. Kareya b'meis b'day. Because there, you don't want to be. You're not allowed to be, as a matter of fact, you're not allowed to be tofer. At least for a specific time. Right? During the shiva. Or during shloshim, according to this other email. So your act of kriya at this point becomes a positive act. Because you're fulfilling the mitzvah. And the mitzvah is you should do it without being tofer again. Without trying to change it. So therefore, at that point, you have the korea amanasha loaded for takes the act and makes it an act of chiyuv, and that's what the mishnah the brayzer said is chayim, well, because of it is mostly day and is mirme emisa incha the basic. What happens if it's not mostly day? If it's not mostly day, there it is potter. Why there is it is called a malacha. It is chayev, but you potter because of mekalkel. So the Mishnah talks about a case when there is no mitzvah. There is no mitzvah because it's not meisli day, but it's midato meritzono, without any mitzvah. Therefore, the ma'aser aveira is there, and the chaloshem of malacha is there, and patur is only because of kilkel. Now compare that to the case of beis tzavar. What do you have? What kind of malacha is a pesach beis tzavar b'shabbos? Is it shelo amanas or is it amanas shelo? Huh? Amanas shelo. You're not tearing it up because you want to sew it up again. The whole purpose of making the slit in the garment was because you want to be able to put it over your head. If you're going to go and sew it up again, you can't use it. So there's amanas shelo. That's why yachayev because of korea. Yachayev because of korea. Therefore, what does this prove? Would Rashi agree with this? No. Who would agree with this? The Rambam. The Rambam lists the Dinev Korea, Amanas Shelo, Amanas Litvar, along with all other malachas. It's all one thing for him. So therefore, the Rambam, by implication, would hold that Korea, that Paseya, Beisavar, Beshavas, would be Chai Mishim Korea. It's Chai Mishim Korea. So Ratag Rashi wouldn't agree, but the Rambam would agree. So in that case, again, we have answered the Kashva of Kivega. Now, there are other things that one can say about this. I don't want to keep it too long. I want to point out some interesting non-halachic consequences of the thing we said. We had three explanations, right? One was the question of what kind of change is made, whether it's objective or subjective. Then we talked about, what was the second thing we said? No? The mechata. That the tikkun, the masakana masakalkel has to be that the kilkel is part of the tikkun. The third one is the difference between shalom amanas and amanas shalom. At any rate, we see that there's a special, It's the whole diyun involves where a positive act results from a kilkel act to begin. If you want to now abstract all this, universalize it, it's really a universal theme that before you can have a tikkun, before you have something constructive, you frequently have to have something destructive. You have anything of that sort in Yahadus? Huh? In the broadest sense, most general sense, Bria Sa'olam. Briyas Ha'olam. The Briyas Ha'olam, according to the Medrash, is God. When God created the world, what happened before He created the world? Boina Olamos Machrivan. Medrash says, Boina Olamos Machrivan, Boina Olamos Machrivan, until He came to this world and God let it stay. So our world of Tikkun was preceded by a great act, or many acts of destruction, of Kilkul. It was a Kilkul Manas L'Sakein. According to Kabbalah, I'm not going to go into it, but you all know because it's been popularized today, according to the idea of Kodesh, how did the world come about? By an act of Shvira, breaking, the primordial cataclysm, when Baruch Shem emanated his spheres, and then he had the Or Ein Sof of his own infinite light coming in, and the Kalim broke. I don't want to go into details, but the point is that the act of breaking, of damage, of destruction, preceded the act of creation. In an interesting way, Avraham Avinu, according to the way the Chassam Sofer understands Avraham Avinu, you have a very interesting example. He says, why is it that Avraham, who was after all the founder of Yadus, founder of the whole Torah tradition in Am Yisrael, he did not reach the degree of Nevuah, let's say, of Yishayo. In fact, he didn't even reach the degree of Nevuah of his wife. The Gemara says that Sora had a higher degree, of prophecy than Avraham did. He said, how come? And the Chassam Sofer answers very interestingly. It's almost that people wanted a sense of this part of the Chassam Sofer. He says, because Avraham Avinu was busy teaching ordinary people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Didn't have time to work out his own relationship further than he did, because he wanted to use what he had in order to teach ordinary people who were just separating them from their idolatry, and he didn't care about his time and at his own madrega, and therefore he was so beloved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he was a Malabed Dardika and his Mekarev Rechalkim, which is a remarkable statement. And Avraham Avinu is the one who delayed his tikkun because of a kilkul. What was the kilkul? His time being spent with ordinary people. What was the tikkun? He elevated these people to the highest level. Again, a kilkul that led to great tikkunim and therefore raised him to that level. In the world of Chassidus, according to Chassidus, what is the greatest element of one's religious experience? What is the highest level that everyone is mechuyev to do? And the answer is dveikus. You have to be dovek on a Kodesh Baruch. You have to think about a Kodesh Baruch constantly. It means whatever you do, you have to think of a Kodesh Baruch. Even if it's something that seems to be profane or secular, that has to be done also l'shem shemayim. So everything has to be done l'shem shemayim. So the question that arose as a problem for Chassidus was, who is the ideal person who tells you how to conduct a Vedas Hashem? Who is that ideal person? What is he called? Gotta say something about Chassidus. Come on, it's not that. Huh? A tzaddik. What is a tzaddik called today? A Rebbe. The Rebbe, now in modern language, is called a Rebbe, and then originally a Chassidus is called a tzaddik. Very often, even a contemporary writer will write about the tzaddik by what she means, what we call a Rebbe. Now, unless you were brought up totally on a Litvishe background, it does not mean that every Rebbe is ipso facto an Amoris. Not at all. We're talking about really a genuine tzaddik. Now, what is this Rebbe, the original tzaddik? What was his function? Let's say the Bedichiva, or the Rebbe of Yaakov Yosef, or the Noam Yilamela. What was their function? What did they do? What did they do? Yes, they were involved in their own religious experience, in Dveikus. What else were they involved in? You future Rabbanim, they help people. People came to them as a man comes and wife, his wife can't conceive, and they're dying to have a child, they have to pray for us. Or they're coming, my daughter has to have a shidduch, what am I going to do? Or I'm losing my business, or my brother is sick. People came with ordinary problems, the kind of problems that if you go into Rabbanim, they will bring to you. And you'll have to think to yourself, how can I be involved with such nonsense? I'm not learning now. I could become a bigger Talmud Chacham. So the tzaddik had the same problem. He had to be in Vegas at all times. How can you explain his function of being a community leader? and being a pastoral leader of his flock, of his community, of his chassidim. So what do they say? They said, this is a yerida letzorach aliyah. That in, when I spend my time on ordinary things, on plain secular in the sense of not being any kedusha, I am doing that in order to achieve an aliyah. So therefore, it does not count as a yerida, as an abandonment of my dveikus. It is, what is it? It's a mekalkel amnas lasakim. Yerida letzorach aliyah. So his mekalkel is for the sake of being metakein his chassidim or his people. What is the source of the concept really? In another way, how would you call it? An avera lishma. An avera lishma. The concept of avera lishma is well known in the Gemara. And whereas a gedol avera lishma min mitzvah shelo lishma. The avera done l'shem shemayim is greater than a mitzvah that's not done l'shem shemayim. And that's why the Gemara praises one particular personality as a paradigm of Aver Lishma. It happens to be a woman, and it happens to be a non-Jewish woman. Who is it? Ya'el Eshes Chever HaKeni. He's a Kenite. Why do we praise her? Because she was the one who killed Sisera, who was the general of the Plishtim. How did she do it? Yeah, how come she was able to kill him so quickly? He had no resistance. She seduced him. And the Gemara says, Sheva be'ilais ba'alais ha'irasha, seven times and he's running away. He had not time for nothing else but that. And he fell into a deep sleep, and she was able to kill him. So here you see, she committed an avera. She was mafka herself to a person who was not her husband. She was Eshes Chever HaKeni. And B'nai Noach HaChayev on adultery as well. But she did it as Lishma, to save Klal Yisrael. So you see that an avera lishma is counted as a mitzvah. Why? Because it's a kilkul amnas lasakein, and the kilkul is part of the takana. But you know, this is an idea which I think is a precious idea, that destruction precedes construction. It also is a very dangerous idea. I have a principle that I've always lived by, that the greater an idea is, the more liable it is to be misunderstood, twisted, and turned into its opposite. If you have a piddling idea, a trivial idea, so you know the opposite is not going to kill anyone. If you have a great idea, the opposite can be, or it can be taken to the opposite and can be very dangerous. Love. Love is one of the greatest things in the world. I mean, Ava. Abbas Hashem, Lafatalecha Kamocha, which refers also to Ava for your spouse, according to the Gemara and Kedushin, and so on and so forth. The Ava is a great thing. What happens? Can it be misused? Terribly. Terribly. It can become adultery, it can become neos, it can become all the terrible things you know about. Religion is a good thing, it's also can be made into a terrible thing. Just read the daily papers about the Muslim religion. Sometimes that religion called the religion of the Jews. It sometimes can be done in a way that's destructive. And instead of being a power for the good, it's a power for the evil. Democracy. Democracy a great idea? I think so. I'm a great believer in democracy. Can democracy be misused and destroyed and become destructive? Sure. If democracy means the majority wins and the majority takes the minority and destroys them, it's democracy. Or it means that the majority, the individuals feel so democratic that they have no, they say, les din ve les dayan. There's no obligation whatsoever. I can do whatever I want. That's taking great ideas. And similarly, the idea of avera lishma can be turned into an antinomian. What does antinomian mean?
Against halacha.
Against the law. But the word anti is against, nomi from the Greek word nomos, which is halacha, which is law. So antinomian means belief that lawlessness is the way things should be. That it's the people who are nihilists and who are, what do they call those people who believe in no government? Anarchists. Anarchy is an antinomian philosophy, an antinomian idea. So it can become antinomian, and was it that way in history? Do you find there's Aveira Lishma being misused that way in Jewish history? Pardon? Where? When? Shatai Tzvi. What century was that? 17th century. 17th century, end of the 1649. The same time as the, well, that was the period that the Shabtai Tzvi heresy took place. And what did he believe that became so terribly obnoxious and caused such a terrible disaster? I mean, when Shabtai Tzvi came on the scene and declared himself Mashiach, you have no idea how popular he was. He was enormously popular. As a matter of fact, in the Bourse, the stock exchange in Paris, they were betting, the odds were that he would lead the Jews into Eretz Israel and proclaim the Messianic kingdom. It was in favor of it. Most people believed that he would do it. When it came to the final, the Turkish Sultan called him in and threatened him. So he announced that he's becoming a Muslim, and he gave an excuse. He says he has to go into the very bowels of Tuma in order to take out the Litzos of the Kami Mal. In other words, he's going to become antinomian in order to save the law. He's going to become anti-halachic in the worst way, because he believed that would be the precursor of a great tikkun for Am Yisrael. What was he doing? He was saying that he's going to do the kilkul amanas l'sakein. But he misused it in a dreadful way. As a matter of fact, this gave rise to the fact that in that century, and in fact after his apostasy, and shortly thereafter with the Frankists, one of his students was called Jacob Frank. He did the same thing and ended up as a Catholic. So you find that the Aveira Lishma knows no bounds. It's got to be dealt with very, very gingerly. Very, very gingerly. Otherwise, they become enormously destructive. Yes, because he was concerned. There was a reason for him to say that. There was a polemical reason to say that. I'm not saying it's wrong, it's right. Who am I to judge of Chaim Voloshin? But because he believed that the nascent Hasidic movement was in many cases guilty of doing the Zaveir Lishma, such as davening Shachris or Mincha after the Zman. And why did they do it? Because they thought that you have to summon up Kavana. Kavana was more important than anything else. And therefore, if the Chaim came for davening and you didn't daven, and you didn't reach a temple kavana, so wait later. You're over this man filler, but that's okay because you're doing the greater kavana. He held that was antinomian, that was an Aveira Lishma, and he was very, very, very strong in condemning it. In Hasidus itself, it led to a whole machlokus of those who accepted it and those who turned it down. To this day, many Hasidim will daven without any regard for his manet filler, and others are being makbed not to do it. Thank God that in Jewish religious history it never became worse than the Shaila. You know, it never became anything as serious as the Havdalah of Abdullah, the Shabtai Tzvi or the Frankist. So in general, you have to be aware of the politicization of an idea of Kamakal Kamnas Lasakin. You're too young, but a few years before you came on the scene and your beginning of maturity, those of us remember the New Left. The New Left burst upon the scene in America and the world, especially in America, again with an idea of destruction, to destroy the establishment, an anti-establishment movement in every way. That's when the hippies took over, and there is no law less dimmer, less dying in order to create a better society. That was the idea of Makalka Amadas II taken to absurd extremes. So we've had our form of it, and Chazal were very much aware of the fact that this is a great idea, Makalka Manas Lasakin, a great idea, but it's got to be handled very, very carefully because it will lead to terrible extremes. At any rate, we've gone through the Sugya at least partially of Makalka Manas Lasakin, and I wish you all a career of being Misakin without too much Makalkel. If it has to be a Makalkel, it should be dealt with very carefully and make sure that the Makalkel itself is part of the Tikkun and not an excuse to get away with it. So I wish you all a great deal of good luck, a great deal of atzlocha in your learning. Are you learning this year? Baruch Hashem. Okay, Miller gives me the hashkocha to you, the hechsher. So I wish you all a great deal of mazel, a great deal of good luck, and hope we'll when you come back and go into your careers, that you'll consider carefully what to do. You have to look into yourselves. Each one is different. No two people are alike. Why not? Because we all created Netzalim Elokim, and the Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad means not only number one, but also, excuse me, is unique. Every individual is unique. So you can't tell a person what to do, as a general rule. You got to find out what your own koyches are, if you have the qualities that are necessary, how much you're willing to take a chance and take a risk, and how devoted you are to the ultimate ideals which should be yours at this point of your lives. So he'll be weigh it well, come to the right conclusions, and that all of Am Yisrael and will have the benefit of your leadership in Torah and in the care and feeding of Jewish neshamas throughout the world.
Thank you.